You may be seated. So today is Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday is always the very last Sunday of ordinary time before Advent begins. And it is a lesser feast, which is why we don't have a party afterwards, but we do commemorate it. Interestingly enough, it is a feast day that was created in the modern era. So Christ the King Sunday was instituted after World War I in the 1920s, when the global world order, as it were, whatever that means, all the different nations around the earth started to change, and indeed refigure themselves in ways that really came to fruition after World War II. But the bishops of the earth came to see what we now experience all the time, and that was a certain kind of domination of politics, and of that stretched across countries in ways that it hadn't before. So they did some work to remind us who the king really is. And part of what that is meant to convey is not only that Jesus is the one that has authority to command what to do, that Jesus gets to tell the kings of the earth what to do, but that it is his authority to do that, which is to say that Jesus is not a rival to the other kings and emperors and presidents and everybody else that sits on a throne or rules over a country. It is those rulers that actually look up to Jesus, as it were. Luke goes at great pains in his gospel to show how the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior of Israel, the Lord God, the Son of God, and the rule and reign of both go together. Which is one way of saying that the only way that we can really understand what this kind of rule looks like at all is to look at Jesus. And so it's no coincidence that on this Sunday, that to really hone in on Jesus's rule as king on the earth is focused on the cross. Because it is on the cross where he demonstrates himself as the great ruler of all. Because his rule, his authority, his sovereignty, as we might call it, is not an act of force or coercion or manipulation. He doesn't have armies. He doesn't put other people to death. He doesn't have to play games in the Senate. Jesus's rule and reign is an invitation of awe and of wonder. It is a way to participate in a different kind of life, a different kind of politics, where everything in us must bow down to him. In faith and in hope and in love. That the cross of Jesus Christ is the foundations of a politics of the kingdom of God, where forgiveness is what reigns, not rivalry, where humility is what is valued, not humiliation, where we are taken in awe instead of trying to take over with violence, and where we see that love is what holds us together and not fear. The cross is an interesting focus for all of this because it shows how the rulers of the Roman army at the time, of the Roman Empire, were in many ways enacting a kind of anti-politics. If we see and think about politics in its largest sense, what we're really talking about is just how to live our life together, how to negotiate a common life between neighbors that come from different places and have different stories. But crucifixion is an anti-political act because it sees some other person and humiliates them to the form of exclusion and pushing them out from a community altogether such that it removes their personhood. It is itself an act of force. And this is, it's a common way of ruling in the world, right? That I get to show that I'm the king because I get to decide who gets to die or not. But that kind of action is one that keeps us from coming together. It's one that unmakes a person and dehumanizes them. It is constitutive of rivalry between other people and not peace, and is meant to lead others to despair. And this is where the cross shows a huge amount of irony on this Sunday. The irony is, of course, that they are mocking the king. The rulers are mocking the king. That they are making fun of and trying to get Jesus to come down off the cross so that he can come and save us. If you, Jesus, will really come and save us, why don't you come off that cross and actually go do something about it? Without realizing that it is on the cross, enduring the cross, where Jesus is doing something about it. Where Jesus is taking on our own rivalry, our own wrath, our own ignorance, all the ways in which we can't get on with one another. We can't make peace for ourselves because of our own guilt or our own shame, and he takes it upon himself. All of the violence and all the rivalry and all of the deceit in order to undo it and to render it powerless against the will and power of God to forgive and to reconcile and to remake. And there is reason that both the Jewish leaders and the Roman rulers enact this kind of violence, and it is born out of a real sense of fear and perhaps of forgottenness of whether or not God really can save us, of whether or not God really can make peace. They have forgotten, as it were, in their own mockery, that Jesus has in fact told them that this is the way that God comes to save. The Son of Man must suffer and die, Jesus has said over and over and over again. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten Israel. God has not forgotten the world. He has come and sent his Son, his only Son, to come and save us by dying on the cross. But fear and rivalry and deceit are powerful. And we forget just how many times Jesus has said this in the Gospels and in our own lives. God has not forgotten his promises. He has not forgotten the story of Eden or the fallenness and finitude that our lives are subject to. He has taken on our very bodies so that they can be stripped bare and showed and laid forth before God and be saved. That we can see that our violence against one another, our rivalry towards one another, our fear and push towards excluding our neighbors and others and those that we don't understand is not the way that God walks. It is not the way of Jesus. It is a way that pushes us to the edge of our humanity, to cry out to God and lament, my God, why have you forsaken us? But he has not forsaken us. He has not forsaken us. that that kind of violence and rivalry that they committed on Jesus was wrong. And when we do it to each other in our own politics, it is wrong. And we are indeed broken in our own ignorant ways. Questioned by Jesus' own comment on the cross. That do we really know what we're doing? We don't. We don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to make peace. We don't know how to get on with each other. And it leaves us to doing things that we wish we wouldn't have done. The liturgy of the Eucharist, what happens in that reenactment of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is that we all together in worship, much like the crowds and the rulers and the criminals on that day, surround the altar of God and behold his sacrifice for us. That even though we don't know what we're doing, God has already forgiven us. He has already forgiven us, and he has given himself for us on the cross so that we could experience through the course of our lives and come to discover a different kind of politics, one of forgiveness and of love and of awe and of worship, of understanding and of humility, one where we can give ourselves to one another out of fear, without fear, that is, because God has done the same for us. And this kind of life, I mean, I don't know how it fits into the partisan political noise of our day. I don't think that it does. I just don't think that it does. But as it happens, that kind of politics doesn't make for much change. It doesn't do the kinds of things that Jesus Christ has done. It can't change your heart. It can't open you up to repentance. It can't bring together enemies by a power that comes outside of ourselves. We, in and of ourselves, are unable to make these things happen. But God in Jesus Christ has done it because he is the King, because he remembers and is faithful. And his rule and reign over our lives and in our hearts is indeed moving us. Moving our spirits nearer to one another in worship. Because it happens right here in this place. And not just every Sunday, but all the times that we worship here. That the negotiation of a common life, of mutual care and respect and dignity, happens here. Because it is here where we can lay our own selves bare, where we can put down our rivalries, where we can remember Jesus and remember that he remembers us. And we can bow down to the King because the powers can't win against resurrection. He has made us one. And will be with us always. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.